Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam. The month of June is coming to an end. But before this happens, a significant day will arrive in just a couple of days from today, and I feel we should not let this day pass without contemplating on the importance of the occasion it reminds us. It was way back in April 1959, while talking to a group of devotees on the sands of Chitravati, Baba spoke of Buddha and the Bodhi tree and of sadhakas seeking some specially favorable spots for their tapas, for their penance. And even as Swami was speaking thus, he put his hand in the sand and suddenly brought out a thick copper plate about 15 inches by 10 inches, which contained mystic markings and letters of many known and unknown alphabets. And Swami went on to say how such copper plates or sasanas are placed under the trees where sadhakas, spiritual aspirants, do tapas, do their penance, so that they may be helped to develop concentration of mind and control of the senses. And then Bhagwan went on to announce that he would be placing that sasana under a banyan tree that he proposed to plant in the tapovana that Swami himself had created behind the Prashantinilam Mandir. And this ceremony of placing this copper plate and planting a tree over it was actually done on June 29th in this month, way back in 1959. And the coming Monday, that is June 29, 2015, will be the 56th anniversary of the installation of this unique meditation tree planted by the Avatar himself. What is even more profound is what Swami said on this occasion. In 1959, Swami declared on that day that in times to come, yogis who have reached a certain stage of tapas, certain stage in their sadhana, will automatically come to know of this tree and this copper plate, and they will be drawn by a mysterious force towards this tapovana, this heaven that Bhagwan has created for aspirants. And Swami said, then this tapovana will justify its name. I remember talking to a youngster from South Africa a year or two ago. She was in her 20s, and when I asked her what she liked the most in Prashantinilam, without even thinking, she said, the meditation tree. To me, it was quite a revelation. No one before had ever answered in this manner. And just today, I was reading about the meditation tree that Professor Kasturi has written about in the Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And as I was reading this, I also unearthed a beautiful episode of how Swami personally initiated so many people into meditation and yogasanas way back in 1968 in Vrindavan. Miss Indra Devi, the famous English yoga teacher, had come from Mexico, and the yoga classes were to begin in Vrindavan in that year. And this is very beautifully documented by Mrs. Vijay Kumari in her book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, where she says how Swami looked at her and said, hey you too join the class. And the instructions began on December 8, 1968. And Bhagwan, addressing all the participants, said, yoga chitta vritti nirodhakaha, which means yoga is controlling one's senses. Discipline, Swami said, is very essential. And to arrest the mind, meditation is necessary. And Bhagwan went on to explain how when you sit for meditation, assume the posture of Padmasana and see that the head and the back are erect, like in a straight line. The thumb, Swami explained, is Brahma, and the index finger is Shiva. When the tips of these two are joined, the remaining three get separated. Swami said this is what is called Chinmudra. And Bhagwan went on to elaborate on meditation and said meditation requires a shape to meditate upon. And the shape to meditate upon is good if we take light as the object. Swami said, place this light in the lotus of your heart, thinking that it has bloomed fully. And then you should then move this jyoti, this light, into each of your limbs. And then all the limbs will be finally rid of impurities and become sanctified. The jyoti which is there within you is also present in the person in front of you. And in this light, you become one. Everything becomes illumined. Swami said, the day of meditation is verily the day of renunciation, and the day of renunciation is also the day of peace, and the day of peace is the day of happiness. Then Bhagwan went on to stress how meditation should be done during the Brahma Muhurtam, early hours of the morning. And Swami said, it is more important to purify your mind than attach too much importance to the externals like having a bath and so on. So on December 8, 1968, Swami lit the lamp and the yoga sessions in Vrindavan began with the chanting of Omkaram. The next day, Swami asked everyone to come at 6 in the morning. Mrs. Vijay Kumari, along with her husband and others, were there at the appointed time. But Miss Indra Devi was not to be seen, so they were wondering who was going to teach them. Interestingly, Swami arrived and now everyone was sitting around Swami and Bhagwan began his instructions. He said, through the practice of yoga, besides physical strength, you will also be endowed with the strength of the soul. And once you have the strength of the soul, to that extent you can feel the presence of the Paramatma within you. The Paramatma will be within your reach as your soul strengthens. And then Bhagwan demonstrated personally how to breathe in and breathe out correctly. There were 30 participants, and Mrs. Vijay Kumari says how their limbs refused to move and their knees refused to bend, but Swami was so easily doing the Padmasana. And Swami went on to do many other asanas, and it almost appeared like there were no bones in his body, but all the people were struggling to do even the simple asanas. And the playful Swami, looking at their plight, would laugh sweetly like an infant. And then Bhagwan would personally come near them and help each one. And magically they would be able to do it when he was there beside them. But when they tried alone, it would not happen. And then Swami would say, try, try, you will succeed. And along with yoga practice from 7 to 8 in the morning and 6 to 7 in the evenings, they also received spiritual discourses from Swami. As Mrs. Vijay Kumari says, it was like honey raining in the ocean of milk. And Swami used to say, when you assume the posture of any asana, do not merely breathe in and breathe out. You should breathe in with the sound soham and let it out, and then let it out. Aham is good, Swami said. When karam is added to aham, then it becomes ahamkaram, which is egoism, which is not good. So Swami taught pranayama, and he would make the classes interesting by narrating excellent stories and even cracking jokes. He used to say, if you say on one hand that someone is bad, it also means that there is badness within you. Swami would say, it would be as absurd as saying that the son should be fine but the daughter-in-law should become a widow. So like this, Bhagwan used to make the atmosphere lively with his stories and with his anecdotes. And then in the end, towards the end of the session, he would say, let us sing a bhajan. And then he himself would take the cymbals and play. And in the end, he would personally distribute prasadam to all the participants. One day, Bhagwan talked to them about Surya Namaskaram, the yogic exercise of saluting the sun. And Swami himself stood before them, repeating each mantra in a gentle, melodious tone. And he himself demonstrated the various postures of Surya Namaskaram. At the end, all of them in a row lay down, prostrating before him with hands outstretched. And he was standing there like the thousand-rayed sun. And in the subsequent sessions, Bhagwan recited every mantra. Om Surya, Surya Narayanaya Namaha, Om Adityaya Namaha, Om Rahave Namaha, Om Akashaya Namaha, Om Hridaya Prakashaya Namaha, Om Bhaskaraya Namaha, Om Netra Prakashaya Namaha. And he explained the meaning, Adityaya Namaha, Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastad. Without sunrise, it is not possible for anything, for the flowers or the fruits of a mankind itself to be alive. For the garden called the world, the sun is the gardener. We have rain only because we have the sun. So Bhagwan explained in this manner the importance of every name of the sun. Om Akashaya Namaha, Akasham Gaganam Sunyam. Instead the sky called the heart, the sun called Buddhi, or the intellect blooms like a flower. Om Netra Prakashaya Namaha. When we look at a thing with the eye, it means that that thing is being reflected. That reflection of the sun is what is there in us, inside our body, as the buddhi, as the intellect. Chandrama manaso jatha, chakshu suryo ajayatha. Bhagwan in this manner explained to them in detail about every syllable of the Surya Namaskar mantra. And every day, after all the pranayama and the yogasanas were done, Swami would tell them stories and even sing songs of Rama Kalyanam, of Rama's wedding. He would sing songs of Dhamara Gita. And every day the students started increasing and more asanas were taught. So the duration of the sessions only increased. Bhagwan demonstrated Mayurasana. He asked the men to do Sirshasana and Dhanurasana. And as they did, he stood by their side and he supervised them. And after the class, Swami used to give sweet bobatu to every day to all the participants. And one day he even said, really, if there is anything called luck, this is what is luck. Over there, outside, there are so many people waiting for a single darshan, but you have here my darshan, sparshan and sambhashan, and eating prasadam given by me, by my own hands. And as the days passed by, the classes progressed. And one day, Bhagwan said that now all of you must practice regularly. He said, after a few days, today, no more yoga exercises. What you have learnt, practice without break. It will grant you physical and mental peace. And he said, this fortune will not be offered again without misusing what you have gained, exercise daily and derive pleasure. And even as he was saying this, everyone was feeling so despondent and sad. There were tears flowing down their cheeks, because for a month they had beautiful sessions with Bhagwan. And now all this was going to end. In the end, Swami gave all of them a group photograph. And the next day he left to Chennai. And before he left, he called each one of the participants by their name and he gave them prasadam and blessed them again. When Bhagwan returned, all the participants again went to him, and like a mother yearning for her own children, waiting anxiously for their arrival, you know, Swami's doors opened immediately and Swami's happiness was visible in his looks, and everyone surrounded Swami again. And the first question Swami asked is, are you all doing your exercises? Swami asked Mrs. Vijayakumari, are you doing your exercises? And then she said, yes. Swami asked, how is your backache? And it was only then that Mrs. Vijayakumari realized that she had forgotten about her backache. Many years ago, she had asked Bhagwan to cure her of her severe backache, because many times she was unable to sleep, unable to even turn to one side, and she used to cry because of the severity of the pain. And whenever she had mentioned it to Swami, Swami used to say, don't worry, it will go away. And now she recollected how, when the yoga classes started, Swami called her specially and told, join the class. And now Swami was asking, how is your backache? And she had completely no idea that she ever had a pain at all. Swami said, that is why I asked you to join the yoga classes. And Mrs. Vijayakumari says, how gracious is the Lord. He remembered me in spite of all his engagements and my predicament and my problem I had told many years ago. Even if I were to peel my skin and give it to him, it would not be enough. Well, that is what Bhagwan has done to each one of us. And it's really interesting how Bhagwan has personally guided so many into the yogic path. Of course, the yogic path is very profound, but just the yogasanas is a small part of it. But even that, Bhagwan has personally guided. And very recently, we celebrated the International Yoga Day. It is indeed a great way of restoring the profound practices of the Sanatana Dharma. The Sanatana Dharma, Bhagwan used to say, is the way of life. It's the spiritualization of the world and divinization of society, what is essential to convert man into divine. And this is the universal message of the Sanatana Dharma, the universal message of Bhagwan. And this message was so beautifully orchestrated in so many ways when you look at the life, the mission and the glory of the Satya Sai Avatar. The last few episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, we were discussing and delightfully deliberating on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. We had done the first four Kritis and there was one more, the fifth of the Pancharatna Kritis. And in this Kriti, we dwell on this aspect of Bhagwan, the glory of the Lord, the profundity of his message and the glory of this Bharat, the Bhava, Raga, Tala, which is part of bhajans, which is part of Bharat, which is part of Bhagwan's Bhagavata, the Sai Bhagavata. So today we'll move on and we'll listen to the discussion of the last Kriti of the Sai Pancharatna Kritis in this last lap of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And as I just mentioned, we move on to the discussion on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. And joining me in this discussion is Brother Sai Prakash and Anirudh, as well as Sister Vasumati, the Vice Principal of Bhagwan School in Bandalore in Chennai. So we move on to this beautiful musical discussion.
So that was the fourth Kriti set to the Ragam Todi. And as we mentioned it many times in this show, it's the king of ragas.
Yes.
And it is a beautiful raga, very emotive and very powerful.
Challenging.
Challenging as well. That's right. That's right. And then we go on to the last Kriti. Now the last Kriti is set to the raga Madhyamavati. And this raga, I think, is traditionally sung at the end of every concert.
Yeah, it's auspiciousness. It symbolizes the auspiciousness. The end of concerts, Madhyamavati Raga is sung.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's why Sir also selected this Raga for this Kriti. But definitely there's more to it than just the ending Raga, because the way it has been tuned is again very beautiful. As I was speaking to some of the people who actually went through the drill of learning the Kritis, they were saying, wow, maybe Madhyamavati is some familiar raga. We yeah. know the raga, we know the feel of the raga, so let us start with Madhyamavati. You know, it possibly sounds easy in our head.
In our circle, I think we have many versions in Madhyamavati raga, that's right. That's why we could easily connect to that.
quite a few devotional songs also.
Yeah. Devotional songs and bhajans. There are
Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Yes.
Satya Sai Pada Bhujam. All these are Madhyamati.
These are Madhyamati bhajans. And so there was a little bit of confidence thinking that, okay, at least this kriti will be simple, straightforward. But what is simple in terms of swaras, sir complicated it in terms of tala.
Oh,
because he is Bharati. Bhava Raga Tala. So, if the Bhava and Raga is simple, there is a complication in the Tala.
Ragam also not simple.
Okay.
Lot of innovations. Each charanam is like the pattern is something which was very new, at least for us. The usual format was not at all there. And according to the meaning in each charanam, it would keep changing.
Yeah.
Though it has only 5 notes, Sarima Panisa, Sanipa Marisa.
Correct.
But the magic which he has created in each.
There's only 5 notes going up and coming down.
Yeah.
Aro and Avro,
yeah.
Both.
Sarima Panisa, Sanipa Marisa.
Beautiful. And what magic in these 5 notes.
Absolutely.
Sir has really brought out this beautiful
and
song.
And the feel of grand end. Yes. Like how we started with grand festive mood of Pranamami Saisha with Gambiranata. So that same, the grand ending is also there.
The ending is also very grand with Madhyamavati. And as per the theme, what we had discussed was, the first one was the glory of the advent and early Leelas. The second one was divine aspect of Bhagwan. Third one was the human aspect of Bhagwan. The fourth was
projects,
grand projects with compassion. That was the central theme actually. And that's why the Rag Thodi was suitable, because it had that Gambhir, what do you saw, that grandeur of his projects, you know, mixed with compassion. That is Thodi. Then the last Madhyamavati. For Madhyamavati, we thought we should celebrate the Avatara Vaibhavam. That is the glory of the avatar, how some of his teachings, how, first of all, how his glory spread all over the world and how he was well known even if, when he was in the physical form here. At the same time, the beauty of his teachings, the beauty of his teachings, how relevant they are for today, and how he took the highest of spiritual truths and translated them into practicable, you know, lessons for us in daily life. And one good example is Gram Seva. Students go for Gram Seva every year and we don't know what's happening, but we just enjoy the exercise. But there's a lot happening behind the scene, because, you know, just looking at it very practically, Gram Seva, you don't have to spend the money to buy the saris and dhotis. You are not spending the money for the transport. You are not spending the money for the prasadam. You are just going there and you are giving this prasadam to people. And it's giving them joy, it's giving you joy.
Yes.
Swami is taking care of all the background. But he is giving you that invaluable experience of doing Gram Seva, of doing selfless service. And I think it has stuck on, because many students who go out from the university go back to their places and they get involved in Seva activities. And many of them do Gram Seva as well. So, you know, these aspects are brought out in this song. How the highest of philosophies was taken by Swami and put into practical, practicable lessons so that anybody could take to it. So I think as we go through this kriti, you'll see how beautiful even this composition is.
Yeah, sure. In fact, I remember during the Prema Pravaham program for the 85th birthday, the fifth song was depicting on the glory of Bhagwan, which was set to the rag Gorakh Kalyan.
Gorakh Kalyan, that's also a beautiful rag.
Adugu Adugu Nasa.
Yeah. That had a very beautiful feel to the whole song. That raga is so divine. And the thing is, in Prema Pravaham, he had the choice to change the ragas. So each song is a Ragamalika, but
and that really matched very nice with the visuals.
Exactly.
Like different visuals coming in, different background music, like different set of instruments, sitar, sarod, strings, violin, whatnot.
That was something totally on a different scale.
Totally magical.
Totally magical. But even this is.
Yeah.
I'm just so surprised if here is a person who could take, yes, he used the entire orchestra, he used different instruments, different ragas and produced a grand song. The same grandeur is felt in just five notes. In this Kriti, with this five notes, he has played the same magic. Yes. And you get the same feeling of grandeur. It's like Purnamada Purnamidam. That is also full, this is also full. You get that experience of completeness. So this Kriti starts with the lines, Satya Sai Atara Vaibhavam, Nitya Nutanam Satya Saratanam. Nitya Nutanam means ever new.
Yes.
Ever new and always truthful. Satya Saratanam, it's eternal, true and eternal. So the glory and grandeur of Swami's avatar is ever new. Because every time you think of it, you get a new dimension. Every time you contemplate on Swami or think of any of his actions, you're lost in a totally different world. So he says, Satya Dharma Shanti Prema Prati Hridi Nilipina Vishwa Prema Prasthanam. These are the five cardinal principles of Swami. Satya Dharma Shanti Prema Anahimsa. And so what she said is, you installed these values in every heart and gave the world Vishwa Prema. Means the whole world was filled with love. It's like a chain reaction. You fill one person's heart with love and then the love's
cascading effect.
It's more contagious than any disease, I would say. So that is the positive aspect of love. So then we go on to the charanams, and here what we get into the teachings part of Swami's. Because his teaching is really universal, and it's really not out of place to recollect how Michael Noble, when he came to Swami and he heard Swami's teachings, he said it is really universal.
Yes.
And that's how he decided to gift Swami a channel on radio, World Space Radio.
Yes.
And that's how Radio Sai was born. So, that's the power of love. That's the power of his message. Because it's really universal in every sense of the term. So, the first charanam is Prema Ekaika Matam Sai Bodhanam Mrita Saram. So, the essence of his entire teachings is love. And Swami says that there is only one religion, the religion of love. And that is brought out in this charanam. Of course, for those who want to really enjoy the tune, you go back to the live video on YouTube and listen to it. We can give you only samples here, just highlights. Although I would really like to shut up and listen to the song itself. I think we should move on to the next charanam. So he says, Udartha Mana.
Udartha Manavi, ye seveye.
Seveye.
Adhyatmika
sadhana toli saupanam. What it said is, service to mankind is the first step in spirituality. So as you rightly pointed out in the previous session, that this compassion and love is translated to service. The physical manifestation of this love and compassion is service. And Swami has shown that service is the first step in spiritual sadhana. And as we mentioned earlier, Gram Seva, sometimes you start wondering who is the beneficiary. Is the one who is serving the beneficiary,
yes,
or the one who is receiving? So both are benefited. Then it goes on to describe the three beautiful charanams. I think we cannot skip singing these charanams because they are so beautiful and they bring out in a very crisp way the essence of each of the margas. See, I would like to think of Swami or realization or nirvana or anything as a central point. It's like a dot. There are many paths to approach it. You can take any path. There are different highways, roadways. If you choose to climb the hill and come down, fine. Ultimately, you're going to reach that one point. So there is the karma marga, bhakti marga, jnana marga, and so many different paths. In fact, we mentioned it over and over again in that Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam series. Because Swami asked this devotee, do you want moksham? And she said, yes, Swami. And Swami said, you have to do only one thing. What is it? Don't follow anybody. He says, don't follow anybody. Just do what comes to you. Because you are already liberated. You have to remove the ignorance that you are not liberated. So these different paths that lead to the same goal have been brought out very beautifully in these charanams. So let us go to Charanam 3, which talks about the Karma Marga. I would request our singers here to please render this Charanam 3 for us.
Sani sari mari samari pa ma ni ni pa ma pari ma ni pa sani re ni sa sari sani sani pa ni pa ma pari sani pa mari sa satya sai avatar vaibhavam gram seva mari dina jan sevaye karma yogam chakani rajamargam satya sai avatar vaibhavam
chakani rajamargam.
Beautiful.
So what she says is, it's the royal path to do righteous action, to do loving action, to do, you know, seva, to do service is a royal path because it's accessible to everybody. Anybody can serve. Even to sing bhajan or the path of devotion, you need to have a good voice, not like mine. but to do seva, you have no limitation. Anybody can do seva. Anybody can. So, chakkani rajamargam. It's a very beautifully composed this line. And again, I would like to draw the attention of our listeners to how crisp each of these charanams are. It's almost like a bija mantra. You know, in a bija yes. mantra, it's just a sound which contains a lot of power because it's like a summary.
It's a potent capsule.
Exactly.
So much is conveyed in
exactly.
so few
exactly.
words.
So few words. So here also in this one line, so beautifully it's conveyed. So she says that serving the villagers and the downtrodden is true karma yoga and verily the royal path. So the next charanam of course speaks of Nada Brahma Sai. See, he is the ultimate goal of all music. He is the Nada Brahma. And he has taught us that in this Kali age, this Nama Sankirtana definitely is also a royal path to liberation. See, Karma Marga is there, but he also said Namasmarana, Nama Sankirtana. He says, Kalilo Mukti Ki Margam. So, what is brought out here is, himself being Nada Brahma, he taught everybody that through Namasmarana and through chanting the Lord's name, you can attain liberation easily. And we have heard him say that over and over again, that in this Kali Yuga, the easiest path is Namasmarana.
Namasmarana.
So, that is the Charanam 4. And Charanam 5 is very, very beautiful, which I don't want to spoil by talking about it. Let the singers please present Charanam 5.
Pamare ma pani pamare ma pani sani pamare ma pasani re samare nire sa pasani mani pa mare pamani pasani pamare sa satya sai avatar vaibhavam bhavaraga taal melana bhajanandame bhakti margam satya sai avatar vaibhavam.
My God, this line can't get any more musical. I mean, it is really there. You know, it really can't get more musical than this.
Absolutely. Each word in that,
each
no?
word.
Bhava, raga, tala.
See, again it's ascending. Bhava is fine. Raga is one more. Then tala is... So, yeah. Bharati has proven that Bharata, Bhava, raga, tala is so beautifully conveyed in this charanam. And bhajanandame, the beauty and the uniqueness of Sai Avatar itself, yes, is...
This one bhajan. Line itself gives that bhajananda.
Yeah. It gives that bhajananda. I mean, what joy, and Swami would say often in his discourse,
yes.
Rama, come and protect me. If you say how dry it is, but Rama Nannu Brovara, if you tell it in a padyam form, it's fine. I won't attempt to sing it. But he says, if you actually sing it,
yeah.
that power and that the way it melts the heart.
Yes.
So, this particular line which exhorts Swami's, you know, how Swami taught us what is Bhakti Marga. And again, even here, he brought in bhajans.
Yes.
Which is really universal.
Absolutely.
Absolutely universal. And many devotees whom we have heard of, whom we have, you must have had the similar experiences. When you are interviewing different people, they are drawn to Swami because of bhajans.
Oh yeah.
Many people have been drawn to him because of bhajans.
There are people who may not even have full faith in Swami's divinity, but they love Sai bhajans.
That's also true. That's also true.
And people who just kept coming to Sai Center because they loved Sai bhajans.
Yeah. Mm.
And eventually they became devotees.
No, and the way Swami made students sing the bhajans.
Yeah.
He didn't have professionals. There are various places where we have,
yes,
professional singing.
Yes.
And he brought his students to the level,
yes,
of singing better than professionals also, I would say. The bhavam aspect is so,
yes,
much.
It's a, yes, very, very unique genre actually.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you have many genres of music all around the world.
Mm.
But Swami made such a unique thing that any musician, when he comes to Puttaparthi, he will sing this bhajan.
He will.
His bhajans.
Yeah.
It was very, very
bhajans are something, I mean, which is class and mass.
Yeah.
Very beautifully told. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, some of our senior singers, if they would start singing a very complicated tune, Swami would say, what, you're singing a solo performance? Sing Namavali, sing simple bhajans, which, yes, everybody can sing along. So I think that's the central point.
I remember 6 years back, mm-hmm, when Bollywood singer Roop Kumar Rathod,
mm-hmm,
he had come to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
So that time he was amazed looking at this bhajan,
mm-hmm,
where some singer, lead singer sing, and that whole hall
crowd
just follows.
Mm.
So he was stunned by this process, and he like, nowhere it happens like this. He was mentioning to some of the bhajan boys that they are very fortunate to be part of that group.
Really, I think for a musician to think that you sing a line and that, you know, there are thousands,
yeah,
following you, that's actually will send the musician to a high.
Yeah, that's, yeah, true.
It's,
I don't
challenging
think ever get an audience like that.
Correct.
And it's all devotional singing.
And devotion,
singing,
yeah,
for Lord.
Yeah. In fact, as Balaramchandran rightly pointed out in the first session interview,
yes,
with you,
yeah,
a few musicians who had come for this Sai Pancharatna this year, they were discussing and they were telling that we have never felt these vibrations.
Yeah, yeah.
After the Pancharatnas were completed and there was one or two talk and then Swami's discourse clip, then there were a few bhajans. When the bhajans started, these people were totally shaken up. They said, my God, what energy, what vibration.
Mm.
They've never experienced something like this. Bhajan is, of course, it's not to be concluded in few lines.
Yeah.
It can go on for sessions after sessions.
Really.
I think now we go to the next charanam. And so that was Karma Marga and Bhakti Marga through bhajans. And of course, Swami always focused on, who am I?
Yes.
I mean, nobody can tell it more simply. This is something which always comes to my mind. Swami calls your family for an interview. Swami looks at you. And Swami tells, hey, you do this job, don't do this job. You leave this job and switch over to this job. Yes, Swami. Swami has told me I will go back immediately, change my job. And Swami tells the parents, make sure that this boy stays near the home. His office is near his home. Swami gives instructions. He has given to many families. Immediately we follow. Okay, to the letter. And we say, Swami has given these instructions, I should not. Same Swami, more number of times has told, I am God, but you are also God. I am God. You are also God. The only difference is you do not know you are God. But I know I am God. Swami, that is a little bit difficult for us to. So, the central in this quote which Swami says, I give you what you want so that you may want what I have come to give you. What he has come to give us is that realization that we are also God. So everything that he ever did, everything that he ever talked of, everything that was focused on this one line, and Swami would so beautifully say, soham, soham, the way he would sing it.
Yes.
Soham. So sweet it was. So let us hear to the next charno.
Nima parima sa ripama parisani ni. Nipasani risa marima, rima sari nisa pa, marisa niba marisa satya sai avatar vaibhavam. soham, 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 erukaye jnanam, anu anu na ninnu, kanugunute jnana margam, satya sai avatara vaibhavam.
So beautiful.
It's really amazing. I'm just thinking, two thoughts that come to my mind. One is, I think after the Krishna avatar, only in Satyasaya avatar did you really get a complete exposition.
Yes.
Along with practical examples of all the three margas.
Correct, correct.
You go to different masters, they'll give you different paths. But here, in whichever path you're following, you got absolute clarity in following that path. You might be a Vishishta Advaitin, you might be Advaitin, you might be a Dvaitin, or you might be Karma Marga, Bhakti Marga, Jnana Marga, but you get a complete knowledge.
They served food like you would serve in a marriage, in a South Indian traditional marriage.
Yes.
But Swami's is like a buffet system.
Yeah.
You like a particular thing, you go there.
Yeah, and you'll get the
there
best of
it. Enough, you get the best of it. You go to another, you get the best of it.
And the most amazing thing is, all the insights came to Madam. It's not ordinary that,
very
you know,
true.
She really could get the essence of Bhagwan's teachings, and when you think about it, it's nice to sing it, but when you think how much of thought process,
correct,
divinely inspired thought process would have gone to just arrive at the essence of all the margas in just 4 or 5 words.
In just two lines.
Two lines.
And very beautifully this Sharanam, she says, realizing I am that with every breath is the true knowledge. That is the path of Jnana. The path of knowledge, therefore, lies in finding you in every atom.
There cannot be anything more profound than that.
No, the tuning also for that. Anu, anu, una, ninnu. The way he has done it.
The way he has done the tuning. Anu, anu.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the first one also, it really sounds like a breath only.
Yeah.
Soham, 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 erukaye jnanam, anu, anu, una, ninnu.
Wow. What tuning? See, anu, 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 it's like every atom.
Kanugunute
is to know, it has that feel of exploring. It has that feel of, oh, let me try to explore that kind of, it's just too perfect.
In every cosmic particle, you see the cosmic creator.
No, really. The beauty here is to see you in every atom.
Yeah.
Here we have talking of Swami as the supreme reality. So, the advantage we have got is He is the supreme being.
Yes.
And to realize that He is there in every atom, that is Jnana Marga.
That line sort of says it all.
Yeah.
The path of knowledge lies in finding you in every atom.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Very beautiful, very beautiful. Then of course, after that, there are 2-3 more charanams, which are equally beautiful, in which the concept of caste, creed, how Swami says, your teachings are universal because they transcend all the caste, religion, nation, creed, everything. And another beautiful aspect that has been brought out here is, warding away the intellectual arrogance of the impure minds in this Kali age. Because, you know, there is so much of development of science and technology, man is trying to ape God. And you are really having scientists doing so many experiments, which is almost like challenging God. You have the intellectual audacity to think that you can ape God. And there are experiments where they have isolated brain cells and they work as an independent brain. The brain cells act as an independent brain. So far in terms of accepting signals and giving responses to them. But can you call that creating life? Where is consciousness? Where is life? What is life? What is consciousness? So these questions suddenly come to the forefront. And so there is a lot of intellectual arrogance that's there today. In this Kali age, with your love, you put aside all the intellectual arrogance and you teach them these paths of how to find God. So that's what is told. Because he teaches with truth. What he says is truth. Satya Sai. He says what he says is truth. And when there is truth, it can't get more scientific than that. That's the fact.
Yeah.
So if when somebody is telling you the absolute truth, that's the ultimate.
Yes.
Even science is trying to discover the truth. But they are not being scientific enough.
Yeah.
If they're not accepting, if they're not accepting that truth is there is something beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
And that is the ultimate truth. So, he's leading everybody to that. Then the next charanam says, Premakarshana Shakti Yuta Sai. See, your love is the one that attracts everyone.
Magnetic power.
Jana Gana Mana Mula Divyatvaja Jagritiki Velasina Vishwa Virata Swarupa Nitya Shuddha Buddha Chaitanya Deepta Apurupa Leelavatara. So these are very beautiful adjectives. The meaning goes, Sai is endowed with the magnetic power of love. Sai is the cosmic being whose advent is for awakening the divinity latent in all. Sai is a rare incarnation of divine playfulness, the effulgent consciousness which is eternal, pure and enlightened. So these are just adjectives to try to describe what is beyond description, I think. So that is Charanam 8. And like in one or two earlier Kritis, the last paragraph is there for this Kriti as well, where very beautifully it is summarized. It says, Sai Siddhantamulu Vannemira Sakaramaye Bhuvi Dharma Kshetram. So she says that once you follow Swami's principles, Sai's principles have taken shape in a grand manner, turning the earth into a land of righteousness. So this is the golden age when we actually start following what Swami has taught us. The entire world is converted into one family by spreading its effulgence in all directions. Whether you are in Puttaparthi or Bukapatnam or USA or Arizona, Sai Ram is Sai Ram. In that one word, you become family.
Absolutely.
In fact, more than family many times.
Really.
That one magical word, Sai Ram, how it connects people, how it connects people all over the world. The grandeur of Satya Sai is unique, ceaseless and infinite.
Beautiful.
I mean, the last line, it is really Apurva Makandam Anantam. It's beyond description, it's beyond words. Although we try to describe it in words, although we try to describe it and contain it in five songs, it cannot be. At the end, the last line, we realize it is Apurvam Anantam Akhandam.
Amazing. Yeah, please sing it, Anil.
Sai Siddhantamulu Vannemira Sakaramaye Bhuvi Dharma Kshetram. Sai Siddhantamulu Vannemira Sakaramaye Bhuvi Dharma Kshetram. Jagati Vasudhaika Kutumbam. Jagati Vasudhaika Kutumbam. Digdiganta Digditula Tejarle Satya Sai Vibhavam Apurvam Akhandam Anantam Satya Sai Avatar Vaibhavam.
Really Apurvam Akhandam Anantam. How beautiful. What immortal words to end this last Kriti.
Really.
It's like a state of realization. You say, yes, now I realize it is Apurvam Akhandam Anantam. How wonderful. Apart from giving us this opportunity to be a part of these compositions, it's just a feeling of things happening through you. You know, at the end of this entire experience, you just feel things happen through you and in spite of you. So, and there is no limit for his compassion, because first he comes, he gives you the experience, he gives you the music, he inspires everything in you, and then he gives you the credit also. How amazing. How amazing.
Just because he loves you so much.
That's it. That's it.
I think after going through this entire journey of five Sai Pancharatna Kritis, we can really appreciate the time and effort taken for each Kriti to compose all these charanams, really, unique, exactly, different patterns for each kriti. I mean, it's not a joke.
It's really not a joke. And the most beautiful part is, it's from such a pure soul.
Yeah.
The reason why we discuss so much about Rajkumar Bharti sir is, his level of surrender is really amazing. It's something that we need to imbibe. Surrender, humility as well. Of course, the talent, yeah, and his...
I just want to add one more thing is, the clarity in thought what he has when he,
absolutely,
wants to decide anything in life, what he wants to decide. He is very clear. This is the step I'll take. It'll happen.
It'll happen. And you know, the total surrender in Swami, and he says things happen.
Now, I also would like to add something.
Yes,
like
definitely.
After discussing whatever, we didn't actually go into depth at all.
Hmm.
When we see the grandeur of the Kritis, and when I remember how Rajkumar Bharti sir interacted with us, like, he never had any conditions. He could have told that these compositions are so tough, it is so grand, I do not want children, I just want professionals to sing my composition.
Yeah.
He never had anything like that. The first time we went for the rehearsals that was happening, I think all the school students, there were two girls from 7th standard and four of them were from 9th standard. Sir saw them, they were really small children, but we were the ones sitting in the first row. Students were sitting in the first row and
that's
just
right,
opposite to him and singing, and he was appreciative of the fact that they also learnt. And he never put benchmark saying that these kritis are very tough, it has to be sung. Definitely, if a professional sings, the flair itself will be different, but he never put any benchmark or rules saying that these children should not sing it, they're not capable of singing it. We know we are really not. Just because Swami willed it, it happened. Otherwise, where is the chance of children coming from a rural area picking up these kritis without any music background,
yeah,
and picking up these
and
kritis?
And it was really, really, really inspirational, the sight to see. They all learnt so thoroughly each kriti.
All the students from the Vishwavidyalaya.
Yeah.
The amazing part is, the first two songs were learnt 1 year before. The next three songs were learnt in less than a month's time, overlapping with their examinations.
Yeah, I am the one who has to train them, and my paper for the board exam was till April 10th. And children had a concert on April 14th, and they were Sundays, and they had their annual exams.
Oh my God.
So they used to come half an hour early to school and practice during the school time after finishing the exam. But it is Swami only who made us get it.
Really?
It's unthinkable for us. Even told in between that, I don't think I'm capable of singing this. Forget the students. First I should pick it up and then only I should teach them. I even thought of backing out because it was too tough. I told Sai Prakash also, saying that it's very, very tough. I don't think it's possible because the Shruti is also slightly very high for us to sing.
Mm-hmm.
To sing in B Shruti is tough because it shouldn't appear very, singing in false voice wouldn't have the appeal at all. So we have to raise our level that way. There is no question of we doing anything. I used to sit every day in the prayer hall under Swami's Simhasan. I used to say, Swami, please teach me this. There is no way we can go to the city or somewhere and learn. Mm. But of course, I just sang in front of some musicians and they were in awe of the kritis. They said, it is impossible that you can sing because we know that you don't have the sufficient training for it. This is the first kriti that
we
have punched up the kritis.
Swami blessed you in a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect platform to share your dream. Because she was really not confident in the sense, because time was very short, it was overlapping with a lot of other things. So she said, you think, can we take it easy this time? Next time we will definitely come. I said, you just try, even if you're not able to sing all three. I was just praying to Swami. But then Swami gave her the go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can share that dream with us.
The dream goes like this, that we have rehearsed for some time and we were coming into Kulwant Hall. It was not this way as it used to be earlier. The sand was there and many children were sitting in rows. Some sevadals came running towards us saying that Swami is calling all of you. And a group of students and myself, our school students, we walked in and I saw that in Kulwant Hall, children are made to sit in rows. So we were also asked to sit there and we sat and Swami came and looked at us and smiled. He said, I have kept lot of gifts for you. Go and take those gifts. I now recollect that it is somewhat similar to the Swami's picture that we got. No, in the dream, I thought it is a calendar because a tabletop calendar, no, how it looks. It looked like that. But now I recollect that it's almost similar to the Swami's photograph that you've given us at the end of it. Then Swami came and stood in front of our group and he was, as Swami used to be, you know, he used to hold his hand at the back and he used to be swaying when he stands in front of students. He stood like that and he looked at us and he said, pardon me. sing, he said. And so we started singing Pranamami Saisha, and Swami also was humming a few phrases along with us. And after this, like, it was also like when we have sung in front of Swami in the dream, I thought we should really take it up. And I thought, okay, let us give it a try. Till the last day we can keep trying. There is nothing wrong in trying. So that's how we did. And I'm sure Swami was the one who made us learn each and every notation there, because understanding it and learning it would be very difficult for us. I think it would take ages, or maybe not even this, but somehow Swami saw to it that we learnt, and everybody was very encouraging and appreciative of the fact that children learnt it, and the positive vibes were there, and nothing like coming and sitting in front of Swami and singing it on that day.
Now the beautiful part is, it's like circle completed. Brahmarpanam, Brahmavir, Brahmarno, Brahmanatham. He is the one who is doing. He is the one who is making you sing. He is the one who has taught you. He is the one who is going to sing, and he is the one who is hearing it.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, certain things when they happen, you are 100% sure you cannot do it.
Yeah.
You are 100%, and this is one such thing. This whole project is one such project, which is beyond any doubt his. I mean, if I have to go and have food today, I can say maybe it's in my capability to go and have food. But to do the Sai Pancharatna Kriti project, it is not in anybody's capability.
I remember Balaram Chandran telling that some of the swaras,
yes,
you know, which during practice sessions he did not get.
Mm.
No, but on the final day it just came.
Yes. Yes, that was the experience with a few. Yes.
Few. It just came on the final
day. Because you're not conscious. And in fact, the third Kriti, Charana Sevanam, he was sharing with me as fresh as 5 minutes from the Kulwanthal program. He was telling me that we were totally choked because that Nahakku, Me Ranachu, those lines, it just touched their hearts. Because As he rightly said in his introduction also, it was all in that very spot. In the Kulwanthal, where Swami would come, he would interact for years and decades. That was the holy spot. You are sitting in that holy spot and then singing these songs. It's like reading the Quran in Mecca. It's like reading the Bible in Jerusalem or whatever.
Amazing.
I mean, that was the feeling.
And see, the Lord, for him to communicate his message, communicate his glory also, you know, he has to create a Hanuman, he has to create a Ramadas, he has to create a Tyagaraja.
Hmm.
Because that instrument also should be as pure to carry the pure message of the Lord.
Exactly.
As they say, the flute must be hollow.
Yeah.
Well, Krishna also, beautiful music can come, but there has to be a flute which is hollow.
Hmm. In fact, talking of flute, what a beautiful introduction he gave for this Kriti. Yeah. The last Kriti, the flute was almost like hidden from public view for the four Kritis on the final day performance.
Yeah.
Every Kriti had an introduction by one of the instruments. So there were three violinists, and they shared giving the intro for the first four songs. The last song, the intro was given by a flute player. Amazing. Amazing, it just melted everybody's heart.
Yes.
It's so beautiful it was.
Yeah, apparently he was new. He had come for the first time.
Yeah, many of the musicians had come for the first time. There were at least 10 to 12 professional musicians, including instrumentalists and vocalists. Many of them were coming for the first time. And that's what, at the end of the program, when they heard the bhajans, they were totally shaken up. They said, this is something beyond our imagination. I mean, I think it's the love with which everybody has towards Swami that really shows up in the way they participate in the bhajans. So everything comes back to that love.
Absolutely. This was another Prema Pravaham.
Yes, yes, this is another Prema Pravaham in its own right.
Yes.
A classical Prema Pravaham.
Classical Prema Pravaham. Yeah, exactly.
Like you have Adobe coming out with CC version. This is Prema Pravaham CC, classical version.
Each one is a classic because there is a touch of the divine. There is a touch
That's
of
true.
And I'm
divine.
Sure for the generations to come, these Kritis will become more popular and popular.
Yes.
And everybody will learn this.
Yes.
like I said before, that music college teachers are planning to include this as a syllabus. So
yes,
all who come to this place
yes
will
yes
learn this Kriti. It becomes more popular. The tradition continues every 24th April.
Yeah. We you will want Kriti to learn Carnatic music so that you can sing this Kriti.
That's the point. That's the point. In fact,
just like, you know, so many bhajan singers, you know, they have learned music so that they can sing bhajans properly. The whole idea is I should sing bhajans properly.
Yeah.
Similarly, you know, you will want to learn Carnatic music.
It all starts from swara.
Yeah,
exactly.
The root is swara.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully once more people learn and everybody is able to offer the Sai Pancharatnas in their own places, in
yes
their homes, in their
yes
samithis on 24th April.
Wow, it'll be fantastic. I'm just reminded of that last scene in 85th birthday, the Prema Pavaham, you know, you had candles.
Yeah.
Everyone is having this candles. It was
yeah
a beautiful sight.
For yeah well, the song Tu Pyar Ka
Sagar.
For Tu Pyar Ka
Sagar.
The whole audience was lighted. You know, it was pitch dark, but the only lights were this light of candle, the lamps of love, that, you know, it symbolized that
very
lamps
beautiful
of love in every
very
heart.
Beautiful.
It's the same thing, you know, we should pray for the day when the whole Sai Kulwant Hall will just reverberate with every heart in their own way offering these
Pancharatnas. There's only one thing I can say. That is, Swami knows how to hear good music. So, he knows how to get it done.
Yeah.
And he has done it.
Yes.
That's it.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more to it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Sai Prakash, Anirudh and Sister Vasumati. I think we have had so many sessions and each session was, I don't know whether how much of it thrilled the audience, but I think for each one of us it was such an enriching experience. And we can actually go on and on dwelling on every line and every phrase musically as well as in terms of its significance, but I think we have attempted to give a glimpse and it is now for everyone to take that opportunity to go and dive deep into these ratnas, you know, just like you dive deep and get those pearls from the ocean, these are those pancharatnas of Bhagwan. Let us dive deep into it and get lost in that ocean of love. Thank you very much.
Thank you
Vishu.
Salam.
So dear listeners, that brings to an end our discussion on the Pancharatna Kritis. And if you have been following Outside, Inside, Deep Inside episodes of the last 5 weeks, you would have heard our musical discussions on every Kriti. These were sung first on Aradhana Day on April 24th, 2015. How these Kritis came into being, how they were learnt, how they were presented, who were the ones who were instrumental, and how Bhagwan worked through them, each part of this divine diamond is amazing. And if you have missed any of these previous episodes, I would request you to go to our Thursday Live archives, download and listen to them. It really fills your heart with delight and fills you with so much joy. You shed tears of love, tears of gratitude, and you just don't know how to be grateful to Bhagwan for all that he does all the time for us. It's time to draw the curtains on our day-long Thursday Live program. The time in the studios now is 9:44, and in a few minutes from now you will listen to a drama presented by the SSC Children of Canada. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on 24th August 2010. A Life of Sai Ideals. That is the drama you will listen to. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. On behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, I express my gratitude to you. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Finally, placing myself at the lotus feet of our most merciful, beloved Bhagwan, and seeking his guidance and blessings to become a better instrument every passing moment, and praying for the good of everyone, everywhere, I take leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.